Elizabeth's foreign policy is perhaps the most enduring part of her reign. Some of the most famous events of Elizabeth's reign came in her foreign policy, most obviously the Spanish Armada. Today's pod will focus on Elizabeth's relationship with Spain and her focus on the Netherlands. Ultimately, what Elizabeth wanted was national security. That was the focus of her foreign policy. For the most part, during her reign, England and Spain were at war. And in this aim, she is successful. But that doesn't mean Elizabeth's foreign policy was always successful, or even successful most of the time. And it is that which we're going to examine today. When Elizabeth ascends to the throne, she isn't in immediate danger from Spain. In fact, Philip was actually hoping to retain some control over England and proposed a marriage to Elizabeth in 1559. She, of course, rejects this, but Philip was hopeful that she might change her mind. This kept England's relationship with Spain at least cordial initially. There are three events, though, which lead to a more strained relationship between England and Spain in the 1560s. The first involves John Hawkins, one of Elizabeth's licensed pirates. He was looking to break the Spanish dominance on trade in the Caribbean. He took three journeys in the 1560s from Africa to the Caribbean to trade slaves. This proved profitable for Elizabeth, but also angered the Spanish. In fact, he angered the Spanish so much that they blockaded his fleet in the Mexican port of San Juan Duela. Only two of his ships managed to survive, although they did manage to get some of the gold out. This was a clear annoyance to the Spanish, who had dominated trade across the Americas and the Caribbean since the 1490s. The second involves the Netherlands. Philip was looking to bring the Netherlands under more direct control in order to root out heresy. Under Charles V, the Netherlands had enjoyed more autonomy. Philip didn't like this. Elizabeth had supported the Protestant rebels in the Netherlands by sending them money and weapons. This was an indirect challenge to Philip's control over the Netherlands, and the Netherlands itself would prove an important battleground in the war to come. Finally, the English found every opportunity they could to harass the Spanish. Sir Francis Drake, the most famous of all Elizabeth's pirates, constantly harassed Spanish merchants, attacked Spanish ships, and stole money from them. In November 1568, when a storm forced Spanish ships into English ports, Elizabeth confiscated 400,000 florins. That is equivalent to £80,000. That money was intended to pay for the Duke of Alba's army in the Netherlands. This infuriated Philip, who responded by confiscating English wealth and property in the Netherlands. All in all, this meant that the 1560s started to raise tensions between the English and the Spanish. The relationship was by no means at breaking point, but it was just the beginning. In the 1570s, the relationship began to deteriorate quickly. In 1572, Elizabeth expelled the sea beggars from English ports. This was a group of Protestant Dutch pirates who had been licensed by William of Orange, the leader of the Protestant rebels. The sea beggars were forced to land in the Dutch port of Brielle. This then led to a full-scale rebellion against Spanish rule. By 1576, all Dutch provinces had risen against Spanish rule. They produced the Pacification of Ghent. This called for the expulsion of all foreign troops and autonomy for the provinces. But there were arguments amongst the rebels, which led to two separate groups forming: the Union of Utrecht, which was northern and Protestant, and the Union of Arras, which was southern and Catholic. This was a missed opportunity. A united Dutch could have driven the Spanish out of the Netherlands and potentially fought for independence. In the end, though, the religious divides proved too much. The Spanish made peace with the Union of Arras, and this gave them a basis to reconquer the northern provinces. In 1580, Spain annexed Portugal. This gave Philip access to the Portuguese fleet, which would become integral later down the line. Elizabeth, meanwhile, began to adopt a more anti-Spanish position. She supported Don Antonio, the Portuguese pretender to the throne. She knighted Sir Francis Drake, who had constantly irritated the Spanish, and she treated the Spanish ambassador contemptuously, meaning she openly showed her dislike for him. The Duke of Parma, who had replaced the Duke of Alba in the Netherlands, was successful in reconquering all but two of the northern provinces, Holland and Zeeland. Things got worse for Elizabeth when William of Orange was assassinated in 1584. All in all, this was pretty terrible for Elizabeth. The Protestants had lost their leader and seemed on the verge of defeat. This could have been a pivotal moment in the war against Spain, and yet still things continued to get worse for Elizabeth. Philip II and the French Catholic League came to an agreement in 1584 known as the Treaty of Joinville. This was significant because the Guises led the Catholic League in France, and they were related to Mary, Queen of Scots, through her mother, Mary Guise. Now, in this pod, we are focusing squarely on Spain and England's relations, so we'll deal with Mary, Queen of Scots, in a separate podcast. I think she's fascinating, but she's not relevant right now. What the Treaty of Joinville meant was that Philip no longer had a political motive to stop him supporting Mary, Queen of Scots. Previously, he was reluctant to support her claim because her French leaks meant that strengthening France would happen, and that was a big no-no for a Spanish king. But with this alliance, Philip could fully support her claim to the throne of England, and Elizabeth had never been more vulnerable. In response, Elizabeth created the Treaty of Nonsuch in 1585. As part of this, she finally agreed to send troops to the Netherlands under the command of the Earl of Leicester. Now remember, because of what had happened in France in her earlier reign, she had been reluctant to commit troops to the Netherlands, but she now felt that she had no choice. However, unfortunately for Elizabeth, this also largely failed, and there are three reasons for that. In response, Elizabeth created the Treaty of Nonsuch in 1585. As part of this, she sent troops to the Netherlands under the command of the Earl of Leicester. Now remember, Elizabeth had been reluctant to send troops anywhere, and this was due to her earlier failures in France. Unfortunately for Elizabeth, this also largely failed. This was because the troops were badly paid, and it alienated the Dutch because the troops she sent lacked discipline. The second reason is the Dutch felt betrayed when two officers, William Stanley, not the one from Henry VII's reign, and Roland of York, left to join the Duke of Parma. This badly damaged relations between the Dutch rebels and the English because they felt they couldn't trust each other. And finally, Leicester argued with the Dutch. They thought he was going to sell them out and make a deal with the Spanish. And so that relationship continued to deteriorate between the Protestant rebels and between Elizabeth's soldiers. Now, all of this had been leading to the big event, the one which changed the course of English history forever. The Spanish Armada. The Armada was the worst kept secret in Europe at the time. Philip had been amassing a force for years. Elizabeth had successfully sent Drake to attack Cadiz to delay the Armada, but it could not be delayed indefinitely. It is worth noting the context that the reason for the Armada in 1588 is the execution of Mary, Queen of Scots, in 1587. There were other opportunities to send the Armada, and Philip does send later armadas, but the execution of Mary, Queen of Scots is the trigger in 1587. Philip had 131 ships in the Armada. The plan was to reach Gravelines in the Spanish Netherlands, where it could pick up the Duke of Parma's army, sail to England, and overthrow Elizabeth. It eventually did set sail from La Coruña on the 22nd of July 1588, under the command of the Duke of Medina Sidonia, a man with no naval experience who was constantly seasick. This would prove a fatal mistake. The Armada was spotted off the coast of Cornwall on the 29th of July 1588, with several battles taking place between the 30th of July and the 6th of August. These, though, were all indecisive. Neither side could land the blow that they were hoping for. The turning point was when the Armada docked in France. Sir Francis Drake sent 8 fireships into the Armada, causing them to panic and cut their anchors. Now, this was crucial to victory, as without their anchors, the Armada could not pick up the army waiting for them in Gravelines. Instead, they were blown past Gravelines and towards the North Sea. This was the second decisive moment in the Armada invasion. They encountered terrible storms which destroyed around half the Armada. The English knew the waters well and decided to back off, so they were undamaged. Completely defeated, the Armada decided to sail home. When analysing the reasons for the success of the Armada, it is important that we understand the two crucial moments which proved favourable for Elizabeth: the fireships and the storms. The first was an ingenious off-the-cuff idea from a brilliant seaman, Sir Francis Drake. The second was pure luck, although Elizabeth would spin it as God being on her side. After all, she created the coin which said, "God blew and they were scattered," suggesting God was on the Protestant side and not the side of the Catholics. It is hard to understate, though, the importance of this victory. It gave England the oomph it needed to kick on and become a naval power. For Elizabeth, it represented her greatest success, and ultimately, Philip's best chance of invading England passed him by. Later armadas would fail, and the weather would once again do in for the Spanish. Whatever failures there were in detail of Elizabethan foreign policy, she succeeded in preventing a Spanish invasion. This cements the Armada as her greatest success. After the Armada, there was a split amongst Elizabeth's councillors. Some favoured an expensive naval campaign, which they believed could pay for itself. People like John Hawkins and Sir Francis Drake favoured this. Others believed that Elizabeth should focus on the Netherlands and supporting Protestant rebels. There were three arenas in which the post-Armada war between England and Spain would be fought: at sea, off Western Europe, in the Caribbean, and on land in France, Ireland, and in particular, the Netherlands. With a newfound confidence, England began attacking mainland Spain. From 1595 onwards, there were 3 attacks on mainland Spain, including a brief occupation of the port of Cadiz. Now, this was hugely significant, as England had captured a Spanish port, albeit for a brief amount of time. Hawkins and Drake followed this up with an attack on Panama, which was part of the Spanish Empire. They were looking for part of the empire which they felt was weak and easy to take. However, ultimately the attack on Panama failed, and both Drake and Hawkins were never seen again, presumed dead at sea. Philip responded by attempting to send another armada, but again it was defeated by storms. In 1597, Spain tried to take advantage of a rebellion in Ireland, but were once again foiled by the wind. It seemed that Philip was destined to regret not defeating the English in 1588. By this point in the war, Spain had suffered heavy economic losses and were a world power in decline. England would look for more success against the Spanish, particularly in the Netherlands, and it is here we are going to focus our attentions now. In 1589, Elizabeth appointed Sir Francis Vere as the commander of the English forces in the Netherlands. This proved successful for Elizabeth, as he was highly capable and perhaps most importantly, forged a good relationship with the Dutch, in particular their leader Maurice of Nassau, something which had been lacking when Robert Dudley, the Earl of Leicester, had been commander. This combined with Spanish problems would prove a winning combination for Elizabeth. Spanish troops were spread thinly, fighting in both France and in the Netherlands. They simply did not have the manpower or the resources to fight on this many fronts, and the English took advantage of this. Soldiers in the Spanish army often mutinied. The result of this was the gradual reconquering of territory previously lost to Parma. Although the cost of maintaining a force in the Netherlands was expensive for Elizabeth, some of those costs were shared by the Netherlands, easing that burden. Once again, Elizabeth was able to achieve her foreign policy aims without bankrupting the country. By 1594, the Spanish had been completely expelled from the northern Netherlands. This led to an independent north, while the south maintained autonomy like it had enjoyed under Charles V. Philip had failed, Elizabeth had succeeded. Her success is in large what has created an air of mythology around Elizabeth. It is for her foreign policy more than anything else that she is remembered as the greatest English monarch ever produced.